Welcome to this podcast, made possible by Vision Australia Radio, your community radio station. Visit varadio.org for more information on Vision Australia Radio and our podcasts.
Our next guest is Ian Edwards, otherwise known as the Blind Chef. Ian, you have a very interesting story. You worked as a chef for 30 years before losing your sight, and then you continued to work as a chef. Can you please share with us your story?
Yes, it was interesting. My story started probably 5 or 6 years ago, where I had a detached retina. Complications set in when they reattached it, and it left me legally blind in both eyes, even though only one retina dropped off. From then on, I had to give up work, give up everything I did, a career that for 30 years that I had done. I had a year off, nearly went mad, and we came up with the project, The Blind Chef, which enabled me to get back in the kitchen to do what I love doing. And during this process, found a lot of people with vision impairment or a disability that would love to have a go at a career in it, but unable to get anyone to give them a start.
You made a really interesting decision because a lot of people would not have decided to continue as a chef and maybe would have looked at other careers. So what made you decide to continue as a chef?
Chefing is the only thing I've ever done all my life. And as people know, chefs are bad-tempered, they're impatient. And trying to train me to do something would be a nightmare. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So basically, I went back to all I knew, but it was different because I had to reevaluate a kitchen and retrain myself, you know, with low vision to continue the career that I loved.
So in order to retrain yourself, what were some adjustments that you needed to make to work in a kitchen?
The main adjustments were to find out what was hot and what was not. But, you know, once you familiarise yourself with surroundings and that, and being my own boss allowed me to do that. I still, for a little while, tried to work in somebody else's kitchen, but when it's fast-paced, with somebody else calling the shots, it was very difficult for me to keep up. And, like, you know, I'd read a docket with magnifiers on it, then I'd read it again, then I'd have to ask somebody, what hell was on table 5, you know? And I couldn't do it. So it was unfair to me and unfair to them. So hence, that's why we started The Blind Chef.
So just a quick question, how did you determine what was hot and what was not in the kitchen?
The only way to do it, touch it. I see shapes and colours, but no detail whatsoever. When I walk into a kitchen, I see the big silver thing, I think, oh, is that the oven? And I check, yep, that's it. But it's easy, and the only thing I still have trouble with, there's two things I have trouble in the kitchen. One is with cooking, it's chicken, and I have a second chef who, she's like the co-pilot, and I'll say, look, you know, how's this look? Yeah, that's cooked, right, because I can't see the pink of chicken, you know what I mean? Steaks are different, they're easy, but that side of it, and the depth of a pair of tongs in a deep fryer. I've snipped the end of my fingers many times.
Ian, what got you interested in cooking, and what steps did you take to become a chef?
Oh, look, my mother was a cook. She was a very good hotel cook and a phenomenal cook in desserts and stuff. So I probably got it from there. I didn't think so at the time, but look, I didn't think that was my calling either. But I moved from a country town to Newcastle, and prior to that, I worked with my brother in sawmill and that type of thing. But when I got to Newcastle, there were no sawmills. There was like restaurants and things. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I applied for a kitchen hand job, and the lady boss said to me about 3 weeks after I started, would you like to be an apprentice? I said, oh, no, apprentice. She said, I think you should be. And, yeah, so I became an apprentice, and that, the rest is history.
How did you create the Blind Chef Bistro?
The first club at Boolaroo that we took on, I went down there and I got out of the car and my partner said to me, what are you doing? And I said, oh, it's going to let me stick in the car. You're with me? It's all right. She goes, what? And when you start cooking and pull the stick out, they're not going to notice. And I said, oh, I suppose. So I went in there. I told them the story I wanted to do. I wanted to open a business. I wanted to do affordable meals for the clients. I wanted, the main important part was to give other people opportunity to vision impaired people to work. So they sort of went with my story. I went with that, and it became a success basically overnight.
You're really involved with mentoring and training the blind and low vision community how to cook. What advice would you give for people who are interested in entering the hospitality or food service industry?
The advice I give them is, one is, don't take no for an answer. And two is, it won't come knocking on your door. You've got to knock on it. I know how hard I found it, knocking on doors to get assistance when it was time. For me to head back into a kitchen, there was nothing. surprising. Surprising this day and age. Everybody says everything's inclusive, everything is this. But when it really comes to the push, there's probably 1% of industry that really wanted to help. I mean, around here where we are in the harbour at Newcastle, it's surprising now. I mean, I don't sort of go anywhere that I don't get recognised. And I think now it's gained a lot of respect for vision impairment.
So you've helped to raise a lot of awareness for how people with vision impairments can work in these type of industries.
That's exactly right. And we've had probably about half a dozen vision impaired people. Everyone has their own different story of what their disability is, how much they can see or vice versa. And you sort of have to work with them on that and mentoring. But yeah, the real big thing is bringing up awareness of it, because the biggest problem is the people that assume if you're vision impaired or you're blind, you see nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of misperceptions about legally blind and blind and low vision, and that there's a huge spectrum. Not everyone has a dog guide. Not everybody, quote unquote, looks blind, but yet we can all have vision impairments at different levels.
Yeah, the harder thing is people's misconception of what it is. You know, they just assume you're blind and that's it. You can't see anything, so you can't do anything.
Employers may be concerned about hiring people with vision impairments to work in busy restaurants or kitchens due to concerns over safety. If you were able to sit down with these employers, what advice would you give them?
Not to be worried, because it's like any able vision person. You can train anybody. You just have to have time and train them. I mean, in my kitchen, nothing is marked. There's not a red spot on this saying, you know, so-and-so that, so-and-so this. Doesn't work. People, you train them right, this is here, that's there, and, you know, please don't go near that until I'm ready to show you that, because that's hot. It comes back to the thing, you know, they've got common sense as much as what anybody else has.
So it's more about learning the atmosphere and the layout of the kitchen.
If you do your orientation properly and familiarise every student with that, there's not a problem. The problem is only what people put into people's heads. Or they're thinking to themselves, oh, God, I better not let him use that knife to cut his head off. It's a preconception. You're blind. You can't do anything.
Have you had any issues with safety with any of your students or yourself?
None whatsoever. No issues of safety, no issues of anyone cutting themselves, touching anything hot, nothing whatsoever. You know, and we've been doing this project almost 4 years, and we have quite a busy business. And no one has hurt themselves, no one has had an accident, no one has done anything like that.
When you mentor people, is it just about cooking or are there other areas that you mentor them in?
No, we mentor them in all of it, like, you know, plating up, dishing up. They do all the salads as well as cooking, desserts, serving desserts. You know, they do everything. Because other than that, it's tokenism.
Mm.
Oh, don't let him do that because he might hurt himself. No, he's going to do it because the one thing people with disability strive for is to be treated equal. They want to do it because they've been told all their life they can't do it. And once they start to do something different to what they've been doing, they think, oh, wow, this is good. This is good. I can go home and cook for mum and dad tonight. They really enjoy it.
What has been your experience with working with young people, with mentoring and teaching?
There was probably about 8 mentors at the Vision Australia thing I did. And they were lined up in mine to discuss things, and that was huge. I was gobsmacked to think that this many people are interested in doing it, you know. And when I say interested, you know, they may never take up as a career, but they might like to do a 6-week course of good home school cooking, you know, and what comes with it and that.
What would you say to parents who are maybe nervous about their blind or vision impaired children cooking and creating meals?
A lot of parents tell their children, oh, you can't do that. No, don't even attempt to try that. And that's fine to do that to your child, but, you know, in 15 years or 10 years' time from now, he or she's going to stand on their own feet, make their way in life. And, you know, and mum and dad's not going to be there to do it. So better to prepare them, mentor them and prepare them for what's ahead in the future. I mean, it's not quite as scary if you know what's coming or what's ahead of you, you know?
So are there any simple activities that kids can do with their parents to learn about cooking or learn about preparing food?
Oh, look, they can cook it with their parents at home and that, but I'm just not sure how patient the parents would be. It could turn them off for life.
And it depends, I guess it depends on how good of a cook the parent is.
That's exactly right.
Because it might turn them off for life for that as well. Ian, thank you so much for joining us today. I wish you all the best with the Blind Chef.